I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 104, and today Cody Bradford is going to join us here in a little while.
He's the first player to be on three times.
First player to be on three times, and he's a big leaguer now, so we like when big leaguers come
on. He can put it on his resume. That'll look real nice.
It'll look really good.
Three-time player guest.
That'll be fun to have him, Han. Guys, a reminder, we're close. We're 1 week away. Next Thursday night at 7 p.m., Hop and Sting Brewery in Grapevine, Texas.
Yes.
7 p.m., it's the Rangers Today live show, and we've got our guests lined up. We've got Mike Maddox is going to be there. We've got Matt Hicks is going to be there. He's the Rangers radio broadcaster.
Yeah, he was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Derek Holland, former Ranger, and he's there. And we want to make one more announcement today. You'll see this coming out on Twitter. Tell us who else is joining us.
Well, it looks like Josh Spores will be joining us. Got the last out of the World Series. He was our first guest.
After the World Series.
And he's been a very... out in public this off season, got some caravan stops coming up. He'll be at, but I think he's. I think of all the guys, he's kind of relishing the moment. I mean, he's forever in Rangers lore.
And
they're going to show that highlight forever. And
he will be a part of a poster or big picture in that stadium for the rest.
Yeah.
Of Rangers existence. So, it's going to show him spiking his glove.
So good for him. But, we're into January now, and spring training is a month away.
Yep.
And these guys are back at it. And they got to kind of – they can still be riding the high and feeling good about themselves. But
it's time to get back to work.
It's about to be time to work again.
And so let's talk about this Rangers exciting offseason. No, literally, I made the snoring noise. Still, they have not been busy. They did sign a catcher.
They did.
This is interesting.
Yeah, Andrew Kisner. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Andrew Kisner. He's with the Cardinals his whole career, including last season.
Arbitration eligible, I saw, too.
He will have a year of arbitration next year, but he he signed his 1 year, $1.825 million. It looks like he's going to be the Rangers' backup catcher. I still think he has to win the job.
This puts some questions on Huff.
Well, it does and it doesn't. We had talked at the winter meetings with Chris Young about Huff, and he said he had a great year, fantastic year offensively, but he didn't catch a lot, or he didn't catch enough, was what Young said. And a lot of that was the Rangers' fault because they called him up to be an extra body, to be the backup when Heim was hurt, just instances like that, and didn't play him. And so he didn't get a lot of catching reps. So, you know, he does have an extra option year, which was also a surprise that came out of the winter meetings. So it's not good for his short term, but I don't think it hurts the long term.
So now, he's got another option to go down?
He does. So, he will.
Wow, I thought he was out.
Everybody thought he was out. We all thought he was out. All four of us. I don't know
the four beat guys.
I don't know what Stefan thinks, but the three beat writers
full time
thought that he was out of options, and we were all kind of looking at each other. And he, you know, Chris Young said, "Yeah, he has an option." So, anyway,
well, that makes me feel better. That means not necessarily they don't have to make a move.
Yeah, but Huff can still make the roster. You know.
Backup first baseman, Kisner, DH.
I think he can make the option as the backup or make the roster as the backup catcher. Kisner, while he hit 10 home runs and 224 at bats, which is pretty good, he's not necessarily a great defensive catcher.
Okay.
As far as pitch framing, Bobby Wilson does a lot of good work with these guys as their catching coach. But I think that there's opportunity for Huff to win a spot on the opening day roster now. There's an opportunity for him to go to AAA too, but
well, apparently,
yeah. Sam Huff is still
there. Is that option?
Sam Huff is still the. I don't, you know. I always thought he was the catcher of the future with Jonah Heim, now a Gold Glove winner and really established. I don't know that that's ever going to happen. That Sam Huff is going to catch 100 games a season, at least not while Heim is around. But I still think that the Rangers like Huff. They see the all-star potential. Bobby Wilson said it a year ago when he was on our podcast that if Sam Huff realizes his potential, he's a superstar. Hitting home runs, throwing out runners, it's just going to take a little bit longer, and sometimes it does, you know. Anyway, so that's the one signing that to a big league contract. They signed three pitchers to minor league deals.
Purely depth, and that's fine.
Yeah, but like Shane Green was a closer at one time for the Tigers. Austin Pruitt had a nice year going last year. He's from Plano. He had a nice year going before he got hurt. He was with Oakland, and then Jonathan Holder had a pretty good run going with the Yankees about eight years ago. I guess it started 7-8 years ago. He's dealt with some shoulder injuries in 21 and 22. Was in AAA with the Angels, which is a little concerning if he couldn't get called up by the Angels. But these are depth pieces, nothing more. Maybe you strike catch lightning in a bottle,
sure,
as they say, and you actually have a guy. And it's happened a lot. You know, you'll see a non roster invite win a roster spot. It happens pretty routinely. It's happened with Greg Holland 2 years ago, with Ian Kennedy last year. You get him in here, and hopefully. Some point, if you need a relief arm, you have this guy down there who hopefully is pitching well and can come up with his experience and get you some outs.
Well, and position players have done that too. Last year, sure. Travis Jankowski, who was told he wasn't going to make the team right before the end of spring training, then end up with Leody's injury,
right.
Comes up, and I saw Leody's getting a bump too.
They had
the arbitration numbers were out yesterday.
Thursday was a big day in terms of that. The Rangers had 8 arbitration eligible players. The only one who did not come to an agreement was Adolis Garcia, and they're way far apart. The Rangers and Adolis, it's $1.9 million apart. I don't think it's going to go to a hearing. I think that I wrote this today at RangersDay.com, $5.98 a month, $60 for a year. That this could be an opportunity for the Rangers to work out an extension, and Adolis is a little bit older.
Yeah.
So he's not your normal young guy with a long
10-year, $300 million
with a long future ahead of him.
Right.
He's you know, over 32. Not old, obviously, by our standards, but he's not going to get a, you know, when he becomes a free agent in 3 years, he's going to be 34.
Right.
He's not going to get a 10-year deal at that point.
Exactly.
So you might as well sign him up, try to sign him now, buy out his arbitration years, buy out a year or two of free agency, put an option on the end of it, and by the time you're all said and done, he's 37. Maybe he's a DH at that point. But, you know, if you look at what he's meant to the what he meant to the team last year.
Oh, my gosh.
39 homers, 107 RBIs, 108 runs, golden glove. He's
a threat every time at the plate.
You know, he only hit 245, but you look at what he did in the postseason, and man, it'd be hard to envision him any disharmony between him and the club. You never want to go to a hearing. You know, that's when the knives.
I think they're going to work something out.
Yeah, I do too. But that's when the knives come out and it gets ugly, and
yeah,
you don't want that.
You have to go in there and tell the team, tell a player, this is why you don't deserve this money.
Yeah,
and you don't ever want to do that to a guy you really count on.
Yeah, and I mean, and you're poking holes in everything he does, and
sure,
they can get contentious. But you know, the Rangers haven't been to one in 24 years, so hopefully that streak remains alive.
Lee Stevens.
That's right. Adolis Garcia. So he's the one who didn't sign. Those who did sign were Nathaniel Lowe, second year of arbitration, I think $7.5 million. Dane Dunning, first year.
We talked about last week. Yeah. He got 3.3 or
3.325 million.
Right.
Jonah Heim, 3.05 million. Leody got in there at 2.24 or something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Burke got a million.
Burke, Spores, Jonathan Hernandez, East got over a million. I don't know. We're probably forgetting. No, I think
Spores
that's all
is
of
buying
them.
The beer.
That's all of them. No, I've told him I'm buying the beer. So
I know that, but
so
I'm kidding.
Anyway,
but
and you know, this is part of it. You know, the Rangers are that's a lot of money they're taking on in salary.
And it's why they're not being stupid on free agency right now and what they're doing.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, but you know, just as players get older and mature and through the baseball or financial system,
still cheaper.
You're going to have hits like this, and next year, you know, I mean, if they don't sign Adolis to an extension. And he has another year like he did. He's going to be 20? over 10.
Yeah.
Nate Lowe will be around 10. If Dunning has another good year, he could be double his salary. So
right.
But it's still more affordable than a free agent. So you know, it's weird how baseball works. It's better for the players than it was. You know.
Well, you know, and
50 years ago before free agency.
We were talking about Kisner?
Kisner.
That just came in, too. And that was important because, you know, Jonah Heim's not a top 10 American League catcher in all of baseball or whatever it was. Is that what it was?
Yeah,
it was
all of baseball.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. The starter in the All-Star game, 4.7 WAR, what he did in the – I mean, whatever. I mean, they did get Corey Seager right. He's the number one shortstop as far as I'm
–
I'm a Homer fan, so
right.
I can
no,
be pissed.
No, I mean, I don't know how – like Gabriel Moreno from the Diamondbacks was ahead of Heim. I don't see that one. There were a couple guys that shouldn't have been on the list, and
it's crazy.
At least not ahead of Heim. But Seager obviously having a great year, was a Gold Glove finalist. But I could, you know, you could make an argument that there are other shortstops who are better than him. But
defensively, especially, that
anyway,
just have more.
I mean, it's just.
But Kisner, you talk about him. He comes from the Cardinals organization where he's been his entire career. That's where Mike Maddux comes from. Until last year when he came to the Rangers, this is a guy that's familiar with him.
Yeah, sure.
So maybe there's something there, too, where when you got to know they approached Mike about that and said, what about this guy?
Yeah, and, you know, Kisner has 14 career games catching Jordan Montgomery, and so maybe something comes out of that. I don't know, but
Montgomery did just fine with the Rangers.
Yeah, Montgomery doesn't need a
but
personal
someone
catcher.
Familiar, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it always helps to have someone familiar, although if he returns, he'll know 75% of the players, if not more than that, that's still the one that's hanging out there is the rotation. I thought it was interesting that three guys who've been talked about across baseball as potential trade targets: Corbin Burnes, Shane Bieber, not Justin Bieber, Shane Bieber, and then Dylan Cease. They all came to agreements yesterday. Burnes 15 and change, Bieber 13 and change, and Cease was at $8 million. He has 2 years of another year of arbitration after this year. Those other guys would just come with 1 year of control. But those are trade targets, and you know the Rangers now know. Hey, all right, this is what we'd be paying him,
mm-hmm.
And it's a lot less than Jordan Montgomery would take to sign Jordan Montgomery. You would have to surrender prospects, of course, and they have value. So you would calculate all that stuff in. But I think those are real viable options that they're a trade at this point. Because I mean, if Snell turned down 5 and 150 from the Yankees, $30 million a year, if he's wanting more than that, whether it's another year or more money on top of it, probably both. This is going to take a long time, and they're going to price themselves out.
Yep.
Their market's going to shrink, and at some point they're going to come having to, hold their hat.
Yeah,
hat in hand. There you go. So
it's hat in hand, and unfortunately, they've got the one agent who tries to draw it out to the end and make you get desperate.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, and it's a very nice thing to have for the Rangers, they are not desperate. Yes, they could use the luxury of getting another couple pitchers in here that they need to get in here, but they've got a rotation right now that isn't half bad at all.
Yeah.
With what they have on the team right now.
Sure.
So it is not horrible with what they have. So they're not desperate, but yes, they would love the luxury of Jordan Montgomery coming back here, or a trade for someone like a Bieber or a Cease or something like that, but they don't have to.
Yeah, they don't.
Because they've got arms coming back.
And that's their leverage.
We just got to survive, a few months.
Last year, their injuries piled up late in the season. This year, they're going to kind of pile up early in the season. And if they survived late, everything worked out great. You survive early, everything still has a chance to work out great. And the five that they have right now, Valdi, Gray, Dunning, Heaney, Bradford, our upcoming guests, that'll win you some ball games.
Absolutely.
The question is the depth. Do you want to get another guy in as a depth piece and that potentially would bump somebody to the bullpen or to the minors to continue to be a starter? But it's those are the things the Rangers are working on. They're not trying to overall reinvent the wheel here. They're coming back
and
pretty.
Any of those guys too could come into spring training or come out of spring training with something bothering them and have to do a little stint or get behind, have some kind of lat strain or something, and they're halfway through spring training, so they're not going to start the season in the big leagues, and you're going to have to wait a few weeks getting into the season. That happens with all these guys. So, yeah, depth is needed. And the Rangers proved it last year with the depth they had. It was very nice with the depth they had. Mm. Now, they've got some young pitchers that are just on the verge of really stepping up that they could use as that depth. You're depending on hoping that they're your depth. You got Owen White. You've got Jack Leiter should probably start in AAA this year. Yeah, that's another one who made some strides. And then, of course, Cole Wynn. Yeah. Whether or not that works out, he's did better when he pitched. Where did he go pitch at?
Puerto Rico.
I still say, you and I have talked about this. I'm wondering if it's that automated strike zone that's given him
could be
crap.
Or maybe that was the genesis of it and some other things came out of it. But, Dane Acker. Dane Acker, he had a 2.54 ERA at AA, and they didn't protect him from the Rule 5 draft because they thought he walked too many guys. He also had a knee injury. He has an injury history. But
he cleared,
got back. When Dane Acker is going good, he's as good as any one of those guys. So
former Oklahoma Sooner, right?
That is correct. And so he's got a chance, too. I mean, if they're advanced and know how to pitch, they have a chance. So we'll see what happens. We got a long way to go. We have a long way to go this offseason, Robbie Grossman and Will Smith signed during spring training last year.
Right.
So did Ian Kennedy.
There's plenty of time.
All three made the opening day roster. Relievers, you don't have to worry about getting them there on day one because they don't have to work up. They don't have to build up as much. They don't need as many outings as a starter does. So, plenty of time. People who are panicking, don't panic. It's an unusual offseason because of the two Japanese players and then the two pitchers represented by Scott Boras. So it's just a little bit different. Keep in mind,
Yankees signed Stroman yesterday.
Yeah.
That was surprising to me that Stroman didn't get more looks. Is he just a guy that people don't dig or something? I mean,
I don't know.
He's always been – look, he's put up decent numbers. He's always been a good pitcher. He's an innings eater. I just wonder what the deal was. I was just kind of floored that the Cubs could have had him back. He really liked it in Chicago. But, man, nobody was breaking down his door.
Yeah,
what's he, 32, 33?
He didn't finish well last year. This doesn't matter anymore, but he got popped for steroids in the minor leagues. He is little. I think
he's like 5'8", 5'9".
I think that's something that has always kind of. Yamamoto's
not big
either. All pitchers who aren't tall are. That's held against them.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't know. People look at these numbers and maybe they see stuff that they don't like. But I think the Yankees did okay there. They still have money, of course, to sign a Montgomery or revisit Snell. But I just think that market's dwindling. You know, the Giants today signed Jordan Hicks, who was a reliever. They're going to make him a starter.
Yeah, I could.
He's started before in his career.
Bellinger still
obviously didn't work out because he became a reliever. But anyway, with Hicks and the acquisition of Robbie Ray, it seems like the Giants are probably out on Montgomery. The Cubs, they signed the Japanese pitcher Shota Imanaga.
Right.
Not a lot of money, so they still have money. But I just think that's a shrinking market for both pitchers, really. Not that they had a huge market to begin with, because they're in a different stratosphere than some teams can afford. But
I think the Rangers are going to surprise people. I think they're kind of playing the market out, knowing they don't have to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. But I think by the end of this, we're going to all be going, wow, that was pretty good. You know, they're going to just, whether it's through a trade or a sign or something's going to fall into their lap, and they're going to upgrade this team, which they could go into it with what they have right now and still be one of the top AL teams. But I just feel something's going to happen. I just think I honestly see why it's kind of sitting in the driver's seat back there going, there's no point being stupid yet.
Well, I definitely don't think they're done.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and
they're letting the game come to them.
And it's going to, of the Burns, Beavers, and Ceases, the Brewers, they don't need to trade him right now because they might be a playoff team.
Right.
But they may wait till the deadline. That doesn't help them maximize the value on him if they were to trade him right now. But are you throwing up the white flag on your season if you do that? Same with Bieber. It's unlikely the Guardians are going to be able to re-sign him. They weren't great last year. They have a new manager. I think they have some injuries from last season that are kind of bleeding into this year on the pitching front. So I would think that the Guardians would seem more likely to trade Bieber than the other two teams trading Cease. The White Sox do have a new GM. Maybe he wants to make his mark, but the White Sox just had a crap year. They were supposed to be one of the favorites in the Central,
and
they just stunk. Now they don't have Giolito. Obviously, they traded him last year at the deadline, so it's a little different for them too. But that's not a great division. I mean, I don't even think the Twins won 90 games to win it. So I think that maybe the White Sox, because the White Sox do have some talent, maybe that they can, maybe they hold on to him another year and try to deal him next offseason. I don't know, but I mean, I just like Bieber. I know he had the arm injury last year, but he came back from that, and everything seems okay on that front. So if it's me, if Montgomery's just not going to come off the price, I think a trade for Bieber and while you're at it, just go get Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah,
and
get him back here.
Take care of a couple things.
Absolutely, I've said this in all business that I deal with. When you're negotiating contracts, you're doing stuff like that. I tell anybody in the real estate world, when they're someone falls in love with something or they want this property or anything that's happening, I say it with pitching too. You know what you're willing to spend. This is what I'm willing to spend. I'm going to give him this much money, this many years. This is what I'm going to do. If he goes and signs somewhere else for more than you were willing to do, you cannot be upset.
Yeah.
Sure. If you think, oh crap, I might would have paid that, then you should have freaking put that on the table at the beginning. Because I tell people all the time, make your best offer. This is the offer that you walk away with. If they say no, you walk away and you don't worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're not there yet, but I think that they're if Montgomery signs tomorrow for 6 years, whatever, and the Rangers can go, okay, well, we were not going to give him that kind of money, then nobody, just fans are going to be upset. Rangers brass aren't going to. They're going to be like, okay.
And I think it is the length of contract that would be.
They don't go over five very much.
No, that'd be the concern for for the Rangers, in my opinion. And, you know, and if you know, the, like we said, the Rangers are going to be getting, or I guess we didn't say it, but the, at some point in the second half, the Rangers will be getting back Max Scherzer, Jacob deGrom, Tyler Mahle to fortify the rotation. Who's to say the Rangers don't go out and get
somebody at the trade
at the deadline if he doesn't get traded this offseason or Burns, you know.
Sure.
It's all out there. It's all in
play. Hey, they won a World Series. Play. They won another one.
Yeah.
They're going to do whatever it gets to win again.
I think, you know, you can save some of your financial bullets here. You know, well, keep your powder dry. Is that what they say?
And, yep.
And then
strike when it's ready.
Move if you have to.
Move when you have to. Yep. Okay, guys, we're not going to go down to the bus leagues. We can talk a little bit about minor leaguers, anything.
No, you know, they had a dead period for quite a while. All of December. I think it ended January 1st. you don't, you know, Huff is done in the Dominican. He finished before Christmas. Josh Smith was only there a short time. Blaine Krim finished early December. He's back. So you don't, you know, Cole Wynn is done. He's back too. You don't have a ton going on. They are going to have, they always have a Dominican program where they'll round up their international prospects and go in and, you know, the front office will head down to the complex there and,
In the
Dominican in Boca Chica and sit around and watch players. There'll be some holdouts. You know, the one thing of note is what's ahead next week on Monday is January 15th. That's the deadline, or that's the opening of the window for signing players in the next international class. The Rangers have been linked to a couple guys in the top 25. So that'll be news next week. Maybe we can talk about it at the live show. Ross Fenstermaker is flirting with stopping by. I don't know that he wants to be on the mic, but we might be able to coax him and see what happens. But
and speaking of minor league stuff too, Aaron Zavala might. He's talked that he might drop by. It's a matter. I think he might be in town. He doesn't know yet.
No, he's in town. He's having family come in town.
Okay,
and so.
That would be a great guy to have over.
I don't want him to sacrifice time with his family.
And, not at all.
Although I did tell him that Grapevine is downtown Grapevine is a great place to take your family out for a night for dinner. And
if he does confirm, we will confirm it, guys, and get it out there. He is someone that's potentially coming. He's very interested, but he does have family coming.
Yeah. And
this happens with everyone. That's why we haven't announced Spores yet. Spores has been back and forth with us. And these other guys, you got to make sure these guys are good to go, and they are.
Yeah, and you know, it's their off season too.
Yep.
You know, and
the winter caravan starting, and
their off season is more important than coming on to Rangers Today Baseball podcast. And as crazy as that sounds,
exactly.
Yeah,
we want to do more of these live shows too, and maybe we'll do them at different parts. Maybe right after the season, sometimes or whatever. We'll find different points to do it, where it might be a little easier.
I'm sure that our friends at Frisco and Round Rock would make room for us, and we could do something out there. So
sure,
but let's test the waters on this first one. But let's get Cody in.
It's gonna be a fun time.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. But let's get Cody in here and
all right,
talk ball.
All right, Cody Bradford, right after this, guys. All right, guys, and joining us right now from literally in the closet, he's getting his house built. We're not gonna tell you where that's at, but he's building the house and he's taking a break with us. It never gets old saying this. This is the third time in a row I get to say this. World champion left-handed pitcher Cody Bradford's joining us. Cody, what's going on, man?
Wow, guys. It sounds awesome when you say it that way. Not much. Yeah, like y'all said, we got some house stuff going on in a new house, so some painters and some furniture. So we're in the closet, quietest spot, and glad to hop on with you guys today.
Yo, this is your third appearance, so you're the first – player, prospect, or major leaguer to make a third appearance. So,
wow,
we don't have anything for you, but it looks good on a resume.
Sure, awesome. Hey, well, I feel honored.
And shout out to Randy because your dad is a huge fan, and your dad stops every time I'd see him in Frisco, and he can confirm. Cody can confirm when we were after the parade.
Yeah,
we were walking through down there. We were walking through the inside and Randy comes running up in front of me. I don't know what he was doing. Just some guy stopped right in front of me. He turned around with this little grin on his face and he was loving life. Gave me a huge old hug. I mean, this is, you know, the dad of a World Series champion at the parade. And you could tell he was having a good time.
I mean, he's just a Ranger fan through and through. Like, I grew up in Fort Worth, and so he loves following y'all's podcast, listening to it back when I was in Hickory and in Double A coming up and got my first time on it. He loved listening to it. So he's just a huge, he's a super fan.
Well, good. Well, maybe we can get him a trophy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Number one fan. There's got to be one of those out there.
No, he's always, he goes out of his way to come say hi every time he's around and do that. Love Randy. Love the whole, the Bradford family.
My wife does not watch it. So she is not number one fan.
Mine doesn't either.
Her parents watch, though.
She'll watch when, like, Cody's on because she met Cody. So she'll watch the Cody portion of it. Okay. She won't watch any other part of it.
All right. Well, anyway, so what have you been up to besides the new house? You know, you didn't have your usual length of time off.
Sure.
September and October. So what's the off season been like?
I mean, actually, the day after the parade, my wife and I flew to Charlotte, and we went to Tread, each headquarters out there in, Charlotte, North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever it's at, and got with them and excited to work with them this off season, working on some mechanical adjustments and just some pitch design stuff. And then my wife and I usually like to travel and try and take a vacation, but we didn't do that this off season. She let me go on a boys trip with my dad, my father-in-law, and my two brother-in-laws, and we went on an elk hunt, a week-long elk hunt up in Colorado, and it was a blast.
My gosh.
Where in Colorado?
It was really close. It was in the town of Eagle, which is like outside of Vail. Yeah, really close to Vail.
Yeah.
Well, did you get one?
We did. On the last day, we didn't get one in Eagle. My father-in-law actually had an old business partner that had a ranch up there and was kind enough to give us a cow voucher because you can't shoot a cow. You can't get a tag for a cow if you're a non-resident. And so we had a bull, hunted hard for one for 4 or 5 days, didn't get one. And then on the last day of the season, we got a cow. Okay. So
good for you.
So my father lived in Colorado for a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Went on an elk hunt one time. I like to go deer hunting. I've got a little land out in West Texas. I go deer hunting at, and he killed an elk. And I said, man, that must have been the coolest thing in the world. And his exact words were, I will never kill another elk unless it's standing in the back of the pickup.
Right.
He said that you had to hike it out of there, right?
We got lucky. So shooting the cow on a buddy's ranch, we got to take the pickup right out in the pasture, kind of where we were. But
got to pull the truck up there.
Well, my brother-in-law's, when we were all up in Eagle, we had an opportunity to shoot we didn't have an opportunity to shoot a legal bull, but we would have had a spike tag. We could have shot a spike. And it's 500 yards as the crow flies. But if we would have shot it, we would have had to go about half a mile down a canyon and half a mile back up a canyon on the other side. And I can't imagine what that would have been like if we would have shot one.
I'm from Colorado. My sister and brother-in-law, they live in Loveland, which is north. It's near Fort Collins.
Skied there.
Okay.
And, no, not the ski resort. It's on I-25. It's an actual city.
Mm-hmm.
Town. Anyway, we were up there right before Christmas, and every day a herd of elk came into their neighborhood.
Wow.
I mean, these are not deer.
No, these are big animals.
These are not deer.
They are huge.
Yeah, they, you know, we could just walk across the street and shot one. I mean, it would have been illegal. Yeah. We probably got arrested. But I mean, you know, we didn't have to go to Eagle and trudge out in the snow. We just walk across the street. But yeah, I mean, you know, the wildlife, it's just.
But now you divvy all that up, everybody gets some good meat.
Oh yeah, yeah. We split it up between all the family, and gosh, we're gonna be eating elk for a year now, so it's gonna be awesome.
Well, okay. So what about the baseball stuff? You said you went to Tread. I guess Dane Dunning has worked out at. Jack Leiter apparently does something with them. Spores, mm-hmm. I'm sure there are others.
Yeah.
When did you start throwing again?
I took 2.5 weeks off. So I started throwing like right around Thanksgiving, I guess. So maybe that would be 3 weeks, but it was right after Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it feel like you were fresh? And because I mean, you probably pitched more than you ever had before.
Sure.
How are you feeling as you're working out here this off season?
Yeah, this off season feels great. When I started throwing again, right, it's really low intensity and working on some other stuff with plyo balls. But I was surprised. I was curious how my body would bounce back as well. I think the heavier load of my throwing was earlier in the year when I was throwing a lot of innings. And so when I was with the big league team at the end in the bullpen, it was a little bit easier for my body to adjust and handle that, which ended up working out great. But this off season like has been pretty normal compared to other off seasons. Like, as soon as I started throwing, bullpens about a week and a half ago, which is right on course with last year and the year before. So honestly, it's been pretty normal.
Are you off a mound? Mm-hmm. You're preparing, I guess, to be a starter. I mean, right now you're one of the five.
Yeah, until I hear otherwise from the Rangers. Yeah, I'm going to prepare to be a starter. Yes, sir.
Are you getting there's a facility near your home where a lot of players have started to work out, but are you going back and forth to the ballpark? Where are you doing your
Yeah, I've been so. In our new place, we're about 30 minutes from the ballpark in Arlington, so it's an easy shot over there. So I've just been going in and getting my lifts done, getting my throwing done. There's bullpen catchers there. The technology's there that I need. And it's fun to go to the stadium when you can. It's still like a dream come true. So
who else is there? What's the group like?
Simeon.
Yeah. So Simeon's been there. He's been on vacation for a little bit, but it's been me, Josh Spores, Josh Smith. All the Joshes, I guess, and Marcus was there, and JP Martinez has been coming in, and I think Huff might have come in earlier this week, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know,
and then
go ahead.
Big John Gray, Jay Gray came back, so he's back in town too.
Good. Yeah, it's I thought it would be a bigger group, but I mean that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you approve?
I'd like every 40 man member to be there. It's good to have somebody to work out with. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, that's sure. Not that.
Not that you couldn't sure. Go down to Baylor or go anywhere. Go to TMI.
Yeah,
this is the time to go to TMI, not during the season.
Right.
Yeah. So, spring training. Have they laid out any kind of plan for you guys as starters? They take it easy, or as a young guy, just ready to do whatever you got?
It's been pretty quiet on my front. I briefly texted with Mike Maddox a couple days ago, just on some pitch design stuff and just making sure we're all on the same page. And he's like, yeah, sounds good. So, but as far as like scheduling, I think we got to wait until the off season's totally complete, because you never know what moves they might make still. Sure. And who they might try and sign.
So what did you make of last season? The last time we had you on was right in early May, after you had become you were the world's greatest pitcher in AAA. And then like 10 days later, if even that, you made your major league debut. What was this first season like?
I would say it was a learning experience all the way around. The starting from a starter's aspect didn't go as I would have hoped, I guess. Getting moved to the bullpen, didn't see that coming, but hey, I kind of found a role that fit and was able to help the team in the playoffs, which, I mean, that's more than I could ever ask for, is just to be a contributor there. And gosh, just trying to get my feet wet and understand the day-to-day flow of being a big leaguer, I guess. It didn't really change from the minor leagues to the big leagues from a scheduling standpoint, but gosh, all the distractions outside the field definitely changed, and trying to manage that was interesting. So,
yeah. But, you know, you mentioned pitching in the postseason. The things that the Rangers like so much about you is that you're a pretty steady and even keeled guy, and nothing really seems to bother you. But did you feel a difference when you're on the mound? That first time in Baltimore, did you feel, all right, this is a little different?
You know, a lot of people have asked me that, and it seems weird, but for some reason I really didn't. I think I was so locked in and just focused on executing pitch after pitch. To me, it felt like another day at the ballpark, and maybe I was fooling myself a little bit. But for whatever reason, that's what worked for me, is just telling myself, hey, it's just another baseball game. Like, it's just another day at the job. Just go out and have fun and execute pitches and see what happens. So it didn't feel like a bigger moment, I guess. Maybe it should have. I don't know. Maybe I missed that part. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you can look back. I've done a lot of this. I've watched a lot of the games again throughout the playoffs, and you can go back to certain things that maybe in the moment you overlook, but
sure.
That outing was huge. I mean, because Jordan wasn't able to go five. It seemed like Baltimore kind of had his number that day, or maybe he was a little bit off, and you helped steady things. The lead got rebuilt, and then you ended up winning the game, sweeping the series, and the rest is history. But what does it mean? And, you know, there were some guys who were along for the ride, didn't pitch a ton or play a ton, but what does it mean to, like, contribute to a World Series win?
That's a it was a dream come true. I told Maddie, my wife, before we even made playoffs, I was like, babe, if I even have an opportunity to make a playoff roster, that would be awesome. But to pitch an inning, a meaningful inning, and contribute in any way would, like, fulfill every childhood dream I've ever had growing up being a Rangers fan, watching the 2010-2011 World Series losses. Like, oh my gosh, guys, it was incredible just to be able to help the team move forward and have a chance. So
what do you do now? I mean, first year you win a World Series. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it happened to Cal Ripken, you know, Ripken first year won a World Series. That was it. So how do you guys get back to winning another?
Yeah, I think we build from here, and it's not just a one and done thing. Like, I think CY has talked about it a lot. Like, he wants to build a winning culture, and he wants guys in the organization to have a winning culture. And to have that, you can't just have, just because you were a winner once doesn't mean you have a winning culture. It's winning time and time again. So I think that's what all the guys in the clubhouse want, and that's what we see moving forward. And I hope that's everybody's goal that it comes up.
How about Alito? Hey, Alito, I noticed that Alito, did they give you a key to the city?
Oh my gosh. they gave me a lot of stuff. I was not expecting all that, but it was incredible. Yeah.
Well, my point is, I mean, making the big leagues and being from Alito, that's cool and all of that, but you're a World Series champion from Alito. They really did it up. That must have been even more special, being a Metroplex kid and then growing up here being a Ranger fan. And your hometown seems like, boy, they just really did it up for you.
It was, yeah. They had a Ranger celebration, they like to call it, where they honored me and Maddie and my parents and family, and gosh, retired my number, my high school number, 18. And the amount of community support that Alito showed was really special, and that they've always done that since I've been a kid. But that was really, really cool to see. So
it looked it. And that's why I even brought it up. It just looks so neat. And as and Jeff and I talk about this all the time, we get to meet you guys before you ever make the big leagues. And so with not being actually, you know, Randy Bradford, this is about as close as we get to seeing a kid. You know, my kids aren't going to be major leaguers. You still have one that has a dream of it.
Will be.
He has a dream of it. Watching a kid make the major leagues, we're like proud of you. It's like, we know you. It's so cool. But that was really neat. And when they did that, I was like, for me, it was kind of like, wow, that must have been a really neat time.
Yeah. Well, and you know, back, I mean, when I first came here, which was
1993.
Okay. Not when I started covering Rangers. When I came to Fort Worth for the first time to go to TCU, 93, the third, I covered high school football games for the my former employer. And the third game I ever covered was at Alito High School. And wow. But I mean, it's like 1993 Alito High School and 2023 Alito High School. A little bit different. Programs are a little bit different than they were.
Yeah.
But I still remember they it was a rickety old press box. And the pregame meal was white bread and grilled sausage, which I was okay with. But I mean, it's just, you know, you probably remember Alito a lot differently in 2010, while it was still burgeoning and becoming this football powerhouse. But It's grown so much.
The winningest football program in Texas history.
Yeah, but I mean, besides football, but just the town. It's not grown. A town. It's so much bigger.
Yeah, there's neighborhoods driving by when I go back home to visit my parents all the time that, I mean, it just used to be pastures. And I remember me and my dad used to drive by and look at the stock tanks and try and see how many ducks were on ponds and what deer were coming across there where we saw big bucks. And now it's just neighborhood after neighborhood, new school after new school. So it's crazy to see that.
Yeah. All because of Cody Bradford and his success. And that's
go ahead and give him all the credit. When do you think you will head out to Arizona? I know camp starts on the 14th. Are you a guy who likes to get there a couple weeks early? Are you going to live with the couples again, like you did last year, the last couple of years?
Yeah, my wife and I, we'll probably head out there, you know, 3 or 4 days before camp just to get acclimated and get all our stuff moved in. So probably right out there around the 10th or 11th. And then we will be staying with Davis Wenzel and his wife, Rachel, and their new son, Knight.
Knight.
Yeah, he was on last summer. And
that's right. She was
about 8 months, but they were in Salt Lake City. Yeah.
Because Eddie Kelly from Frisco was telling me his wife got real close with your wife and with Davis's wife. She went down to the baby shower, something like that. I remember Eddie telling me that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that Knight's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
Super cool name.
Is it with a K? It's not like dark.
With a K. Okay. Yeah.
Good.
Have you got to hold him yet?
I have, yes. We got to see him in Round Rock when he was born, and Maddie and I flew out there to him and his wife live in San Clemente, and we flew out there this off season and got to go visit him. It was great.
Yeah, San Clemente's pretty close to Anaheim.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew Davis was from California.
Yeah.
So is that where they off season? Do they stay in California?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, the new baby, I'm sure they're staying close to.
And you got family around.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're close to family and friends, and San Clemente is just such a beautiful town on the coast. Like, it's gorgeous out there.
You'll experience this eventually, but you get a new appreciation for your in-laws. when you have kids and you need a night off or you're with your travel schedule, your wife will really appreciate it. But good God, you need every person you can get. So the more the merrier. And I don't blame Davis at all. Shoot, I'd stay out there too. But when our in-laws moved from the Houston area, changed our lives.
Yep.
Changed our lives.
Kathy and I never had it, but I'm old enough now. I've got a daughter that's close to your age, actually, but I'm at that age where grandkids aren't that far away from me.
Yeah.
But I already know as a grand, right away, we would be happy to go, oh, yeah, we'll keep them. Just bring them over here. We'll keep them. You guys, and you know, and I'll tell you, you're not a parent yet, but when you're a young parent, you and Maddie are just going to need nights. You're just going to need we need to go to dinner and be adults with nobody spitting up on us or something like that.
Right.
You're going to appreciate, and grandparents will be like, you go do what you want to do.
Yeah.
We want to be there to love on the baby.
I'll tell you what, this is one of my favorite Henry stories. And he was about 6 months old, wasn't even walking yet. And they came to spring training. So this would have been 13. And we hadn't eaten yet. And, I don't know if you've heard the Italian place there called Babbo's. It used to be in a smaller place. And so we showed up. There was a long wait. We had our son with us, and they moved us right to the front of the line because I don't think the old people in Surprise want to hear a baby crying. And so they just sat us down, and it was fantastic. He slept. We ate. We were in and out. And so take advantage of it while you can. But once they start moving, it's over.
Yep,
it's over.
Yeah. You don't have any. Y'all don't have one yet. So, but
not yet.
Settled in and get that house built and going. And I know that's in the future, I'm assuming.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like he's a family kind of guy. So,
he's got a cool dad. That means he's going to be a cool dad.
That's right.
I'm gonna give Randy love every time I get a chance, man.
Your mom might get jealous here of John and Randy.
Yeah,
that's all right. You know what, this is guy's night, I'm telling you. I'd have been on the elk hunt. You know what I mean? We'll take them out to Vernon and go do some hunting too. When you get you get retired, we're going to head out there.
Yeah, yeah. 15 years when he's retired.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I think we're good here.
Let me ask a fun thing. A little fun thing. So you get to the big league. So you get to experience. You did both. So AAA does travel by plane to a lot of places. So does big league. Explain the difference between a AAA plane ride and a big league plane ride.
Oh, okay.
Because it is a big difference, isn't it?
It is a big difference. AAA, you're flying Southwest Airlines most times, so it's just commercial. Getting to the airport early, getting up really early. I mean, gosh, I think we had a 5 a.m. flight or 6 a.m. flight one time. I don't remember, maybe to Salt Lake, and really long days, layovers. Big league flights, you show up to the airport, you get right on the plane, no security. All the food you can think of, all the snacks. I mean, that's dangerous. If you don't have discipline when it comes to candy bars, don't get on a big league plane flight because there's all the candy you can think of. And then, gosh, me and my wife actually, when we were flying to Houston for one of the playoff games, I guess they took a family plane. But, I mean, we were out of the stadium in Arlington, flew to Houston in the hotel, all within a matter of like 2 hours. It was incredible. Awesome. It was so fast. So, I mean, the timing there is elite. It was awesome.
Now, when you get on a Southwest flight, do they have other passengers on there or do y'all charter it?
No, there's other passengers. And sometimes they see all the guys like, are you guys a basketball team? No, ma'am. We play baseball. Well, you guys are so tall. Oh, yes, ma'am. So, yeah.
You guys get there early enough. Southwest has the crazy
system, right? Sit where you want. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, just sit where you want.
You get middle seats all the time.
Yeah, it's mostly the back of the plane, boarding group C, so you're the last ones, and it's back of the plane to middle seats. Yeah.
They want to make big leagues worth it. Hey, you want to stay in the big leagues once you get there. You get out there.
Motivation.
That's how we talked to. We were talking to Dane last week. He was talking about what he did on the plane. And all of that. But I knew that when you were in AAA, there's a big difference between AAA and the big leagues on what those plane lines. What do you do on the plane now? Do you play cards with the guys? You watch a movie? What are you usually doing?
I'm not a huge card player with the guys. I usually just watch YouTube videos on my phone. And every now and then I'll read a book. It just depends on what time it is and how I'm feeling.
Yeah. There is a rule I've thought. An agreement with the Players Association that 40-man players had to fly first class. Is that just like when you get called to the big leagues?
That is true. Yes, I forgot about that, actually. Yeah, I guess my first plane flight I got called back up when I was in Albuquerque, and my wife and I both went, and the team bought a first class flight for me, and then we bought a coach ticket for my wife, and so it was actually a two leg. The first leg, she let me fly first class, and it was awesome. And then the second leg, I switched and I let her have my ticket. That was a really special treat. I didn't know that until this year.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, Southwest doesn't have first class, so that
right. It depends on what airlines you're on. Yeah.
You have to be on a first class.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would think that in that situation, you'd be like, just strap me in the wing. You know, just get me back to the major league.
Absolutely. But,
right.
I'll get in the luggage bin. You can just get me there.
Yeah.
Landing the van.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, but we're looking forward to spring training.
Yeah.
We'll see you at Fan Fest. I'm gonna guess.
Are your folks going out for spring training?
I'm sure they'll be there.
Yeah, we need to find out when Randy's going to be there. I don't care about your mom. I'm kidding.
Such a crush, man.
I appreciate anybody that appreciates this show the way Randy. And Randy, before we ever got where we were, was a big fan.
All right, well, what size does Randy wear?
Maybe a XL, maybe a, I don't know what size hat.
Yeah, we'll get him something.
We got something for him. You tell him it's coming.
Awesome.
All right, anything else?
No, it's time for Cody to remove himself from his closet.
He needs to get out of there and get back to work. They are building the house, and I'm not going to say where, but they're having a lot of fun doing that. Cody, thanks so much. Listen, I know how your off seasons go, bud, and you stop down to come on with us. We really appreciate it a lot. Looking forward to spring training, seeing you there in this season. We're going to see you a lot this whole season in the big leagues, but we appreciate you coming on, bud.
Cool. Yeah, well, thank y'all so much. Always a pleasure to be here.
All right. That's Cody Bradford, left-hand pitcher and World Series champion Cody Bradford joining us. Guys, don't forget, the live show is this next Thursday. Depending on when this part comes out, it's Thursday at Hop and Sting Brewery in Grapevine. Good crew coming in there. Cody, thanks so much. Until next time, folks, we will see you at the yard.